Sunny skies Sunday, high temperatures in the upper 80s. Richard Wedding at the Weather Channel for Town Square Media Tuscaloosa.
It's 72 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
It's time for the Miller's Edge with four-time SEC champion and two-time national champion Christian Miller.
Once again with Christian Miller taking him down.
Here's college football playoff national champion Christian Miller on Tide 100.9 and 1230 AM WTBC.
And welcome into this Thursday edition of the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. Hope you guys are doing well, ready for another fun, entertaining day here on the show. We've had a number of good conversations this week, and don't see that slowing down anytime soon. Got a couple of things we'll dive into. We got some more games that we're going to play here on the show. Some of these keep, this time it's going to be keep three, cut nine, a little bit different because we're going to go quarterback position read. We'll do that earlier on in the show because if you guys have seen the title for our stream, which again, we stream every single day live on YouTube at The Miller's Edge, live on X at The Miller's Edge, and of course on the Tide 100.9 Facebook page as well. We're going to talk a little bit about Coach DeBoer's latest post-spring updates. He dropped a lot of stuff, Reed. I don't know if you got to watch the whole thing. I didn't finish it completely. I think it was a pretty long interview, but he did sit down with former quarterback Greg McElroy on his podcast, Always College Football, through ESPN. And he answered a number of questions. We heard a little bit of a snippet yesterday regarding one of those, which was about the identity of his football team, right? Maybe a little bit of a misunderstanding when it comes, or misconception, I should say, when it comes to a Kalen DeBoer football team, right? We all think of a pass-heavy offense, a lot of production through the air. Well, Greg brought it back to his, I think, was Sioux Falls days, when allegedly he like led the country in rushing yards, and also what comes with that, a physical mindset, right? So they talked a little bit about that, which is going to be really interesting, in my opinion, for people to hear, because that's probably one of the biggest criticisms, I would say, of Coach DeBoer, at least through 2 years so far here at Alabama. Not only, you know, within the fan base, but even externally, right? That's probably the most common thing that comes up, right, Reed? I mean, a failure to run the ball consistently and not a very physical brand of football, at least through two seasons. But according to Greg McElroy in this interview with Coach DeBoer, maybe there's a little bit of a misconception there. So we'll listen to that. We'll get y'all's thoughts and responses to that, plus a number of other updates that he did give through the interview regarding a number of players, right? How they look during the spring, some things that they still need to work on moving forward and so forth. So we're going to cover that extensively today. Then we'll keep on rolling. At the top of the hour, we will have Adam of Lamparello Law Education and Advocacy joining us like he always does. We'll get his thoughts on these conversations. And of course, we always can expect Adam to kind of throw us for a loop a little bit. Last week, man, he had a very interesting proposal. We were talking about the 2014 college football playoff expansion, at least the potential for it, which sounds like it's a little bit more closer to being a reality now that other conferences have also come out in support of it. But Adam's proposal, if you guys don't remember last week, Reed, I can't remember if you were behind the glass or not, but basically a best of three for the national championship game, which, again, we all sat here and said, you know what, I just don't think that's very likely, but never say never in this day and age is one thing that I've learned. And we see it in other sports. Football is a little bit different, definitely much more physical sport. I don't think it's ever been done, because I'm sure if you go back in the history books, it's probably been done at some point. But to my knowledge, I don't know of any best of series with football. Wouldn't count it out. If it brings in money, and they, what they're kind of doing, in my opinion, moving away from the whole player safety deal. Because remember, Reed, that was a big conversation with any expansion talk. Anytime you talk about adding games, it's always been one of the main factors, or one of the main hurdles, I should say. Well, doesn't necessarily feel like that's a big, I guess, driver of the conversation anymore. Would you agree? I mean, we were talking about 2014 playoff, and I get it. Logistically, it doesn't really add too many extra football games. But have you once heard anything about player safety, player sustainability, playing extra games, anything like that?
When we're talking expansion, at least to the 24 model, no, Christian, I really haven't heard any of it.
I haven't either. So who knows? I mean, maybe you do at some point down the road. But anyway, the point is, Adam, he brings some very interesting, I guess, some things that make you question things. And so I wouldn't be shocked if he brings another one for us today. Looking forward to that again at the top of the hour. And of course, If you guys have any questions for Adam, you can always ask him right here on the show while he does join us via the stream. So if you guys want to watch and hang out with us, join us on the streams at the Miller's Edge on all those platforms. Come hang out in the chat. We got everybody loading up in here. Welcome in. Always enjoy getting to hang out with you guys, read some of y'all's questions right there, and just interacting with you guys. Always fun to do that. I mentioned playing the game. We'll do that first before we dive into the big interview with head coach Kalen DeBoer, which, again, this was done with Greg McElroy and Always College Football. We'll just be replaying it, listening to it, and reacting to it. Reed, but so far we've done keep four, cut eight. We did the defensive line. I don't think we actually got around to linebackers. Matter of fact, we never did that. We didn't do that. So how about this? We got a few minutes for this first segment. This is just an intro segment anyways. The next game will be quarterbacks, which I thought this one was really cool because I'm like, all right, you got some dudes on this list and you only have one starter, so it's keep three, right? You still need a three deep. Think about Ohio State in 2014 when they beat us in the Sugar Bowl. We all know they were down to their third-string quarterback, Cardale Jones. He ended up carrying the team, and they ended up winning the national championship that year. So you need three, so we're going to have a chance to pick three quarterbacks. We're going to have to cut nine, though. And it's going to be tough, Reed. There's some dudes on this list, and I'm already knowing what's going to happen. People are going to say, oh, well, you're missing this guy. You're missing this guy. I didn't make the list, and I'm pretty sure the people that posted this list didn't make it either. It's probably AI. So we're just playing the game according to this. But we do need to spin the block. We got to go back. We got to talk about the linebackers. So we got a couple minutes here. Let's just run through this. Even though I don't want to make it seem like the linebackers are not important. Now, worst case, we need a few more minutes to decide and put a bow on it. We'll do that on the other side of this break. But I'm pulling it up now, and here we go. I'm going to throw it on the stream. We're getting started early, Reed. We're jumping right into it. Boom, there you go. Keep four, cut eight, college football linebacker edition. This is not going to be easy either. Now, for the folks that are listening via radio, I'm going to read these names out. That way you can kind of have an idea. You can play along in the car, wherever you're going. You can drop an at message if you want to respond that way. But here you go. You got Will Compton. No offense to Will Compton and a couple of these other guys on the list, but I feel like this one might not be as hard for some of these guys. It's just in my opinion, just off first glance. Will Compton played a long time in the league, big special teams guy, but in college, I think he was definitely a good football player. But when you got him on that first row with Luke Kuechly next to him and then C.J. Mosley third on that first row, I mean, those are probably, I already got probably two of my four right there.
I was about to say, that's a tough draw right there.
Yeah, you know what I mean? It's already kind of all right. We the writing's kind of on the wall. So Will Compton, Luke Kuechly, C.J. Mosley, James Laurinaitis, Von Miller, Scooby Wright. Pretty sure he played with the Birmingham Stallions. Did some good stuff for those guys.
He did.
Yeah. Patrick Willis, man. A lot of talk about Ole Miss in the headlines recently. Not for a good reason, but this is a good reason. Patrick Willis. You talk about a dude, man. Hey, Patrick Willis is a dog. You see him, he's got a club on right there. Just look, I mean, still looking like he's about to go take somebody's head off, even with a handicapped arm right there. Greg Jones from Michigan State. Roquan Smith, really good player at Georgia. Manti Te'o, a lot of people know him from the unfortunate beatdown that him and his teammates got from Alabama in that championship game. And even, I guess, him coming out in the interview basically saying when they saw Alabama walking out that tunnel, the game was already won at that point, it seemed like. Brandon Spikes and Devin White. Now, with all due respect, this list is the defensive line had a little bit better options, in my opinion. I'm not trying to knock any of these guys on this list because these are all really good football players. But off the top of my head, I feel like I could name a number of guys that should be on this list. But again, this is the list. This is what we're going to play with. I'll go ahead and start, Reed, unless you already got your four. I wanted to give you some time. I mean, do you have your four ready or do you need some time?
No, you go ahead. You go ahead.
Okay, because I was going to say, I got two already off the first row. Luke Kuechly, my former teammate with the Carolina Panthers, number one off the field, one of the best people you could ever meet. I mean, as soon as me and Brian Burns got drafted, I mean, this dude took us under his wing. He took us out to eat in Charlotte, wanted to get to know us. I mean, he's such an awesome person. Then you talk about the football player that this guy is. I don't care that he retired a little early. This guy played, 7 years in the NFL? And I know we're talking about college. He was a very good football player in college, too. But I'm just saying, the player that I know, Luke Kuechly, smartest football player I think I've ever been around, without a doubt. I mean, this guy was diagnosing plays before the snap. He would be calling out plays to us. He would be telling us what is about to happen. And then, not only is he smart, he had the athletic ability to go with it. I mean, this guy could run. He could jump. I mean, he could drop in coverage. blitz. He was physical. Everything he could do on the football field. Without a doubt, Luke Kuechly is my first choice. It's not even close. Give me Luke Kuechly, CJ Mosley. Very similar type of player, man. Very similar type of player to Luke Kuechly. I mean, just give me those two, and I'm solid at outside. Or excuse me, at inside backer. Now, I see Von Miller on here. He's outside backer. Go ahead and give me Von Miller. I might have to go back and, again, I know we're going off of college, so I maybe need to go back and see exactly what Von did in college, but just knowing the type of athlete Von was, I can't remember if, I'll pull up his college stats. I'm still going to go with Von Miller. I don't care. I'm biased here, man. I'm outside backer. Give me those three, and then last but not least, this is where it gets kind of tough. Roquan Smith is a damn good football player at Georgia. Really good player. So I'm having a tough time because I like Patrick Willis a lot, man. He was one of my favorite backers. He's a dog. Oh, man. It's really, for me, between those two for my last one. I mean, Brandon Spikes at Florida was a dude, too. Now, don't get it twisted. Even Manti Te'o. I mean, I know we kind of joke about the whole Notre Dame thing when we played them in the championship game. But there's no denying, Manti Te'o was a really good linebacker in college.
Oh, yeah.
Give me Patrick Willis. So I'm going to go a little old school, man. Give me Patrick Willis, man. Patrick Willis is just, he's just an animal. I'll take Patrick Willis. Those are my four, and I feel good about that. Reed, let me get your four, man.
Yeah, so my four is pretty similar to you. I think Luke Kuechly and CJ Mosley right off the top. I think those two guys, I mean, that I can only imagine what we'd see them two on the same team, on the same field. I don't even know if we want to imagine that. But and then I think Patrick Willis, I think, is my third. My fourth, though, is kind of like yours, but I'm bouncing between Von Miller and Roquan Smith. And I've been leaning Roquan Smith, even though Von Miller, you know, was that guy. I think I'm going to go Roquan Smith just so that we don't have, like, the exact same four.
That's cool. And I respect it. Now, and I did pull up Vaughn's college stats because, I was pretty sure he was, you know, highly productive in college. I just wanted to make sure I wasn't blending the lines, right? Because sometimes that happens, right, when you're looking at a guy who you know is, I mean, he's terrorized the NFL, and you're like, wait, I mean, I'm pretty sure he was very productive in college too. Vaughn did have 17 sacks in 2009, and the following year he had 10.5. He finished with, you know, a total of 33 career sacks at Texas A&M. I mean, I'm good on it. But listen, you're right. I mean, you can't. Roquan Smith, I mean, he's a dude at Georgia. Brandon Spikes at Florida. These are all some good players, man. This is, but again, and no disrespect to some of these other guys, but like, without a doubt, I would swap one of these backers with Reuben Foster. Like, Reuben should be on this list. And I'm not being biased because he's my teammate and he was on the show last week or whenever it was, but Reuben easily should have been on this list. And I could probably name, you know, two, three, four other guys that I'm like, probably missing some guys. But that's always fun to play that game. That's good. That's a good little intro game because next we got the quarterbacks. And this one's going to be fun because you got some dudes on that list and it's keep three, cut nine. Even more challenging. So we'll get to that. But first we'll take a timeout. We'll let everybody keep rolling in here. These games are fun, man. I'm glad whoever came up with the idea. I think Cruz Oxenrider posted a lot of these. And this one is, the linebacker's from Cruz. And then the quarterback one was from somebody else. We'll make sure we keep giving everybody credit where it's due. But thanks to everybody coming up with this stuff, man. Always fun to do this during the dog days of summer. We got to hit a timeout when we come back. We got the quarterback edition of this game. We'll break down head coach Kalen DeBoer joining Greg McElroy on Always College Football, his podcast with ESPN. He offered a number of some, you know, big updates, I would say, coming out of the post-spring period as they get ready to enter the summer period coming up in a couple weeks. Those guys will be returning, getting ready to hit the ground running. So we'll be discussing all that right here.
9. That's 800-923-6829. What do you have to lose? Call 800-923-6829. Again, 800-923-6829.
Your front row seat to all things Alabama. Tide 100.9 and 1230 AM WTBC. The home of Alabama Crimson Tide sports.
And welcome back into this Thursday edition of the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230. WTBC. Reed, I mean, I feel like we're already kind of on the theme of playing these games, right? So why not just keep rolling into the quarterback one now? I mean, we might as well, right? I think we can take a few more minutes to do that.
No harm.
All right, a little harm. All right, so let's do that. We'll play the quarterback edition real quick, and then we'll hear from head coach Kalen DeBoer with Greg McElroy and start breaking that down, because we got plenty of time to do that, and that is a pretty long interview. We'll try to weave in and out of it, or even just play some of the snippets and respond to the major points. But he talked about a number of things, so we'll definitely have plenty to discuss there. Plus, one thing I did not mention, Reed, was the article that you sent, which that definitely caught my attention. Look at Chase being such a great friend and co-producer.
I know, yeah.
You call it. He went and filled up Reed's water.
He did. What a guy.
What a servant leader he is, man. Look at a stand-up guy that is, man. Look at the wave in the back. Chase is a good dude, man.
He's everybody, a great dude. Great dude.
Great dude, man. Helping his producer out. Getting him some water so he ain't had to step away from the board, man. That's what I'm talking about. That we need more people like Chase in this world, man. People that are selfless and care about others, man. That's a great sign, man. Shout out to our guy, Chase. Reed, you did send me this, though, and we will hit on this as well. We've been talking a little bit about team valuations, right? Now, there were some estimated rosters that we discussed, and, I don't know the accuracy of that, but let's say they were probably kind of in the ballpark range. Cool, but this is a little bit different, but this is coming directly from On3, which, big brand. I'm pretty sure whatever they put out, they're going to speak to a number of sources. And I think there's a little bit more likelihood that this is very credible. And I haven't even clicked on the article, and I probably will state where they got these numbers from. This is a list of the top athletic donations from SEC programs. So not a roster valuation, but athletic donations from 2004 to 2005 that season. When we read off these numbers, I'm just going to be straight up with you. I mean, this is insane because these are donations. Now, granted, they're athletic donations. So we kind of got an answer to our question. Remember, we were saying the sustainability, these rosters, how are they going to be able to afford this? Well, when you realize that schools are raking in this type of money in donations, we're not talking about revenue. These are just athletic donations, not even like to the school on the academic side. You realize that, okay, maybe there's a little bit more to this whole thing than people are really discussing. We'll talk about that here in a moment because that's definitely something I think big to talk about. But since we're playing these this is keep three. The other ones were keep four. Keep three, cut nine, quarterback edition. Let's go ahead and play this game real quick, and then we start diving into some of that other stuff. I'm throwing it on the screen. Reed, Chase, you can even jump in on this. All of our listeners, I'll read it for our radio listeners, and, of course, everybody on the stream. It's on the screen starting now. College football quarterback edition. Now, this one, it's got a range of eras here, and you've got a number of different types of quarterbacks on this list. This is going to be tough. I'm just going to go ahead and preface by saying that. So here we go. Baker Mayfield, Oklahoma. Tommy Frazier, Jameis Winston, right? Joe Burrow at LSU. That's arguably one of the best, you know, college football teams or years that they've had. And Joe set a whole bunch of records that year back in 2019. Vince Young. Vince Young was like unstoppable in college, man. And I know who Digger's picking first. Deshaun Watson of Clemson. Peyton Manning at Tennessee. Michael Vick at Virginia Tech, man. Tim Tebow. Florida Tim Tebow was, I mean, unstoppable, right? Johnny Manziel at Texas A&M. Alabama defense's worst nightmare from, 2012 to 2013. Cam Newton, another nightmare for Alabama defenses. And then you got Alabama's very own Bryce Young. Now, I might let you guys go first on this one because I'm not going to lie to you. I don't even know where to start. I might even try to drag this one out because, listen, I mean, there's one guy that immediately I'm like, okay, he kind of embodies a little bit of everything. And that would be Cam Newton. Alabama fans might be mad at me, but I almost feel like Cam Newton's probably one of the safer picks on here. Now, if you want to get into all the stuff, all the selling laptop stuff and get into, I don't know. Okay, we're talking about what he did on the field, man. Cam Newton, another one of my former teammates at Carolina, which in college, I would say, I mean, Cam Newton is first couple of years in the league. And then, of course, in that season in Auburn, I mean, was anybody stopping this guy? I mean, Cam Newton was like, just different, man. I feel like I got to probably have Cam Newton on there, but then I see, here's my thought process. Let me go back. you got a number of dual threats on here and you get to pick three. I got to have at least one guy with that type of ability, even if we just throw in some packages for him, right? So that's the issue I'm having, because I'm looking at Cam Newton and I'm looking at Michael Vick. Hell, even Tim Tebow, Johnny Manziel, like just between those four kind of duels. I mean, Vince Young too. I mean, like, it's like, ah. So I'll be honest with you, Reed, Chase. I really, this one's tough. I feel like if I had a Bryce Young, I'm going to go Bryce Young. I got to get at least one Bama guy in there. Maybe I'm being a little bit biased here, but Bryce is a special football player. Dang good football player. So I think if I combine Bryce, right, we know how smart he is and, you know, great thrower of the football, very accurate. He's a magician. He can improvise. Give me a nice dual threat like Cam to kind of mix it up a little bit. And I just need one more. That's where it really gets tough. So I'm kind of leaning in that direction. Maybe Bryce, Cam, and then I need one more. Anybody standing out to you? Should we do a draft? We all pick one guy, kind of go like that? I mean, who Reed, you're just throwing the mic away. You don't even want any smoke with this.
No, because as soon as I saw the list, I looked over to Chase and I was like, and then you were like, yeah, guys, I think I'm going to let y'all answer this first. And I literally threw it over to Chase. I said, hey, it ain't finna be me.
Wow. I'm like, let's look at the chat. Maybe the chat will be able to help us out a little bit, because they've already started going in. I mean, everybody's dropping answers. Jake's got Vic, Burrow, and Cam. I mean, that's pretty, I'm not going to lie. That's a quarterback room, man. That's a hell of a quarterback room. The Kinesis has Bryce Young, Tim Tebow, and Vince Young. And Kenji's got Vic, Cam Newton, and Bryce Young. Dang, that's smooth too. Let's see. Terrell's got Cam Newton, Joe Burrow, and Bryce Young. That's a heck of a room. I mean, you really can't go wrong with all this, man. I don't need Mad Stuff says Bryce, and Bryce. Can't do that. I know, yeah, everybody. We love Bryce. We're gonna pick Bryce. Can't have three Bryces though. Trevor says, I hate to do this, but it's Cam first. Now listen, at least I'm not the only one. I agree.
I was gonna say that is the one that I feel like you said, I think that is the safe pick.
Listen, I think if you get Cam Newton and you get yourself somebody that's got a laser of an arm too, just to have that type of quarterback in there, I guess. Now, if you're running a certain type of system, maybe you want all dual threat quarterbacks, right? I mean, maybe they fit your system, but I guess it depends on your approach. But if we're just going off of what these guys did, I got to go Cam Newton. I'm probably going to go Cam Newton, Bryce Young, and then probably, man. It would probably be between Michael Vick or even Joe Burrow, man. The thing with Joe Burrow is, I mean, like, I wish I knew like what our skill guys would be. Who are these guys throwing to? That also probably would make a difference, right? You know, who's in the backfield? Really, who's the supporting cast? But Smitty had a good point. Smitty said, where'd he go? He said he's going Vince Young, Cam Newton, and Bryce Young. His reasoning is all three carried their teams.
I was thinking about that.
I mean, that's fair. I mean, I feel good about Cam and Bryce, to be honest with you. I mean, they kind of, I feel like they complement each other nicely because there's different types of players a little bit. So, like, that's smooth. Yeah, man, I'm kind of stumped on the last one. I mean, like, dude, people hate on Johnny Manziel because I get the whole off-the-field stuff, but there's no denying Johnny Manziel was a problem. I mean, he was a problem. I mean, I watched it in person. I came on a visit here to watch Alabama, and I ended up witnessing Johnny Manziel pretty much steal the show. I mean, it was insane.
I was going to say, yeah, there's so many guys on this list that just even cutting them just feels wrong.
I mean, this is a genuine question. Do we take away from Joe Burrow? Because Joe Burrow that year set all types of records. Do we say, well, look at the people he had with him? Does that take away from what he did? That's my question with him.
Yeah, because that's what I was thinking, because I think my two that right now I think I've solidified was Cam Newton and Tim Tebow. Okay, and so I was thinking that same thing of, like, are we really taking into consideration the weapons that he had? Not taking away from the success and that what he was able to do as a player, but you know what I mean? It's kind of like the question that you brought up. Who are the receivers, and are we considering the fact of who he had at receiver in college?
That's the only thing, because, he had some dudes. 2019 LSU, I'm pretty sure that was both Jettis and Jamar Chase, was it not? Yep. I'm pretty sure at least those guys. And then a guy that ended up getting drafted by, Terrence Marshall, I think, was a younger guy. I mean, like, dude, they had, like, that was about as close to the rideouts as we've probably seen in college football in recent years, in my opinion. Now, Ohio State has been pumping out first round under first rounder, but, like, those dudes on field together, I just feel like that. I mean, look at what they're doing right now. You know what I mean? Jettison, Jamar Chase, and Justin Jefferson, those two are like two of the best receivers in the National Football League. So, not taken away from Joe Burrow, but that's just one thing I'm trying to consider. I don't even want to sleep on my guy, Deshaun Watson. I mean, I played against him twice in the national championship game. Just seeing how tough he was. I mean, that dude he threw for like 400 plus on our secondary. We had a damn good defense. And we talk about it. Ruben was on the show. You know how many hits that guy took in the national championship game? Dotting him, just getting up, dotting him. It's tough, man.
Yeah.
So
I was going to say, Christian, I think I'm going to go Cam Newton, Tim Tebow, and Vince Young.
There you go. Get you some Tim Tebow action, man. Go ahead and kneel for us while I do the what was the Tebow? Didn't people start doing that whole thing? Give me Bryce Young, Cam Newton, and oh my God, man. You know, I'll mix it up. I'll have some fun. Give me Deshaun Watson. I don't think many people threw Deshaun Watson on their list. I'm gonna go with Deshaun Watson. I respect the hell out of him. I got to know him really well during the recruiting process. Really, really solid dude, man. And just as a competitor playing against him, man, I mean, he in college, Deshaun Watson was a dang good quarterback. I mean, tough as nails, making all the throws you need. I mean, he can even take off and run when he needed to. I wouldn't call him like a real dual threat guy, but he definitely was clearly athletic enough to extend plays with his legs. All right, Chase. You're on the spot before we hit this timeout, man. Make it a good list, man. You got three to choose from, Chase. Cut nine.
This is good quarterbacks, though. I'm not going to lie to you, Christian. It's crazy. I'll go with Cam. Just an absolute just stud for the Tigers. I'll go number one for that one. Number two, I'll go with Bryce Young. Bryce was just surgical. He couldn't find a weakness on what he did. He was, especially in the SEC at that time, where defenses were just immaculate. I think third, jeez Louise. I'll go with Tim Tebow, and I'll say Tim because his impact on Florida, I don't think any quarterback has touched that since he's been there. What he did with Urban Meyer, his message beyond the field, but. And you just look at his picture now. I think he has the blood on his jersey. That kind of represents the player he was. He was willing to run through a wall for his team, and just his stats brought up too. So yeah, I'm gonna go with Cam Newton, Bryce Young, and Tim Tebow.
Listen, college Tim Tebow. Which again, we're talking about college. You're right. I mean, I probably should put a little bit more respect on him. I mean, Tim Tebow was just different. I needed to mix it up because I think we all would have had the same thing. But I like the Tim Tebow one. Even Vic. I don't remember exactly Peyton Manning's numbers at Tennessee. So that one was a little bit tough because I didn't want to be influenced by what he did in the National Football League. But, Vince Young, I respect Vince Young. But if I have Cam Newton on my roster, I don't really need a Vince Young. Unless that's just the system I want. Unless I just want that, I would go Cam, Tim, and Vince Young. If that's the system we're running, yeah, that's my quarterback room. But I kind of want a little bit of variety. Really fun game, man. So, again, shout out to all the people making. This is back then football. Similar kind of deal, probably from AI. Who knows? But thank you, guys. Give you guys credit there. All right, we got to hit a timeout. We come back. We still got to dive into the Kalen DeBoer stuff. So we'll probably just roll with some of those snippets from that. And then we definitely need to talk about the athletic donations chart, kind of what that might mean. We'll break that down. And more coming up right here on the Miller's Edge. Tide 100.9, 1230. WTBC. Do you have cracks or potholes that are dragging down your property's appeal? Hey, I'm Christian Miller, and at Asphalt Restoration, we transform driveways and parking lots with expert repairs, new paving, or resurfacing. Fast, durable, and family-owned quality that you can trust. Don't let small issues turn into big expenses. Call 205-393-9149 for your free estimate today. That's 205-393-9149. Asphalt Restoration, where smooth roads start. Roll Tide.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama, we are here
treating patients from every generation.
across the United States
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies and the dreamers
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors
who are shaping the next generation of legends.
We are here for you,
aggressively pursuing
victory over injury.
Learn more at andrewsportsmedicine.com.
What does it mean to advertise and do your marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa? Melissa started her business in 2014. What would you say to someone considering Town Square Media Tuscaloosa?
My experience with Town Square Media has been awesome, and I would definitely recommend it to anyone. I think that this is the first time in my marketing experience that I've been able to see my return on investment. I would definitely say in the past, that has not been the case. In this, I like knowing that that's 100%. A lot of the marketing we've done has been radio. You guys have so much more to offer than that, whether it's, you know, websites from targeted marketing to radio. You are kind of a one-stop shop, and it makes doing marketing so much easier. So I would definitely recommend it.
Quick, it's easy, and it's free. Go to MyLocalCustomers.com today.
That's MyLocalCustomers.com. MyLocalCustomers.com.
Breaking news, bold opinions, and pure Crimson Tide spirit.
Tide 100.9 and 1230 AM WTBC.
This Thursday edition of the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. We've been playing these games, man. These are always fun. Maybe we'll keep doing this a whole bunch over the next couple of weeks, man. I like these kind of things, man. It's good conversation starters and makes you think a little bit. I always enjoy a little bit of that. All right, moving on. So we got a few minutes here, so we'll wait to dive into this Kalen DeBoer interview in a couple more minutes, but I want to bring this up. Reed, you sent me this yesterday. As soon as we got off the show, it's a list of the top SEC athletic donations, and this was very interesting, Reed. And let's go ahead and dive into it. I want to throw this. Matter of fact, let me pull up the whole article because then we can read more details. But I'll put this on the screen that way you guys can see these numbers. And here it is. All right. Top SEC athletic donations from the 2024 to 2025 season, which makes me wonder how the numbers have changed since then, right? Because we're now in 2026. So this was technically 2 years ago, or the season before last, I should say. Have these gone up? Because rosters are not getting cheaper. We'll figure that out here in a second. But now, I'll at least announce kind of what this list is for our radio listeners that can't see this. So the teams in the SEC that had the highest amount of athletic donations, again, this is just for the athletic department. Texas, number one, I guess no shocker there. $167,786,462 was the number recorded. Reed. $167 million donated to their athletic department in 1 year. Now, when people are talking about them having a roster being way more expensive than people might realize, that's kind of, I'm not saying that means that's the case, but that's more than enough to afford any type of roster that has been thrown out there. Would you agree?
100% agree. And when I'm looking at $167 million and I'm trying to just even imagine it in my head just sitting out in front of me, right? It makes my head hurt because that's a huge quantity of money.
In 1 year, I might add. One year. But let's keep it going, though. Number two, good old Rocky Top, Tennessee, $110 million donated to the athletic department. A $57 million difference from the number one spot to the number two spot. $57 million difference. You'll see how crazy that is once we keep going down this list. Number three, Oklahoma. Almost $93 million donated to the athletic department. Number four, Alabama. Alabama's the number four team on this list. $66,791,000 donated athletically, which, now, I mean, it makes you almost wonder, Reed, right? I mean, we've been talking about, you know, Alabama's not looking to spend a certain amount. Now, we did say That doesn't mean they don't really, that doesn't necessarily mean they don't have the money to do it, but they're not always looking to get into bidding wars. But now I think it is a lot more common. You're starting to see even a program like Alabama that traditionally didn't look to spend as much, they're being a lot more competitive. Number one, you don't have a choice. And number two, the proof is right here. People aren't just donating this money. You know, they're not making athletic donations for it just to sit there and smile at you or to grow it in some bank account.
Yeah, like the kindness out of the heart.
Right. I mean, this is going to something. Number five, LSU at $65 million. Number six, Mississippi State, $59 million. Seven, Auburn, $56 million. Number eight, Georgia, $52 million. Number nine, Texas A&M, $50 million. Number 10, Florida at $49 million. Going back up to the top, the number one, number two teams, Texas and Tennessee, respectively. The reason I said it's such a big difference, or a big deal, I should say, is you have a difference of $57 million just between those two. Numbers, what, 6 through 10 are all $59 to $49 million. That's the difference between the number one spot and the number two spot we're talking about here. That is insane. I mean, Texas has three times the amount of money being donated than pretty much the number 6 through 10 teams on this list. If you don't think there needs to be a cap, this should be all the proof you need. I mean, without a cap, Reed, I know there's the NIL goal, clearinghouse, whatever, but hear me out. I mean, $167 million. I mean, Texas, their softball team just won the SEC softball tournament. I don't know what the valuation is on their softball team. I don't know where it came from to what it is now. My point is, if a school has $167 million to work with, again, with these donations, and that's the other thing I guess I should bring up. I don't necessarily know how this money can specifically be used. I know Courtney Morgan made the point. Finding ways to get it to the players the right way is an issue. How does this work, Reed? I mean, that's the other thing that I don't know a whole bunch about. Because I do know, I mean, a lot of people use the collectives to fund these NIL deals. With the new clearinghouse model, you have to get stuff approved. Can you just spam a bunch of small deals? I mean, can you try to do it that way? I really don't know. But this actually came from public records obtained by AO.com's Matt Stahl. And Texas, again, is above the $150 million mark in donations. They've surpassed $167 million, way more than any other of these schools on the list. I guess the other shocker was, I mean, I guess Alabama being number four, I mean, that's a lot of money donated. Now, if I had to guess, Alabama's definitely, they're more on the, you know, we have a wide fan base. It's probably a whole bunch of smaller donations adding up. Texas, maybe they have that big of a, I guess, donation number because of the, like, they got some big money people that are leading the charge. I feel like they have a pretty big fan base too, but I know Alabama's approach is definitely probably more like by committee. So that's probably something to consider. But I guess after seeing this, I mean, there's, and I don't mean to say like this, but there should be no excuse why we can't continue to recruit and do things at a high level, which we're doing. But when it comes to, all right, you know, the transfer portal's open and we know we need good offensive linemen, and we're number four on this list, Reed, in my opinion, there's not really an excuse why we shouldn't be targeting some of these guys. That's just my honest opinion. Because now that I'm saying, all right, we don't have $167 million, but we are also above a team like LSU. And look at what LSU just spent. And that was after paying Brian Kelly, paying Lane Kiffin. I mean, you get what I'm saying? You get what I'm saying here?
Yeah,
and I get what you're saying.
Yeah, but I think also kind of rewinding it back to the point that you made earlier, credit, this is 2 years ago. So we don't exactly know where we line up now. But even if we would have knew this information 2 years ago, then we would still be saying the same exact things we're saying now.
True. It does go on to say this. So UA drew the $66.8 million for all sports, $53.6 million specifically for football, second in the league. So that was, I think, the revenue that they're mentioning there. Right. So remember, this is the list that we're showing is only donations. These are just athletic donations. Then you got to add into the revenue. Now, granted, we all know football is like the only sport. Sometimes men's basketball, depending on the school. I think ours is, you know, just breaking positive in terms of net revenue. So that's something to consider too. But I guess that would be my biggest question is, how does it work getting this to these athletes? Or are we also talking about, well, this money, since it's an athletic donation, I'm sure like Alabama, for example, is building the basketball, they didn't do the arena, but they did the training facility. I'm sure maybe some of these, that's a part of this is going towards stuff like that. We need to ask Greg Byrne. We need to shoot him a text and get him on the show. He said he would come on. I talked to him not long ago. I mean, he said he would come on. Maybe ask him. Now, I don't want to seem like we're pocket watching, but I can't help but be curious how this works. Like, he could explain to us what it really truly means for Texas to have three times the amount of donations than pretty much, you know, 85% of the rest of the league. That, to me, just seems like a problem, personally. If we're talking about parity, I mean, I just don't see how that's fair. If, you know, Texas is $167 million being donated, and then you got Florida down there with just $49 million. And again, this is for all athletic programs. I'm sure Florida's got other good programs. Hell, basketball, they got a good basketball team. They got a good baseball team.
Yeah,
I think
Christian, at least, and I think you and I would both agree on this. And it's not even the fact that it's Texas, right? It's just more so the margin between 1-2 and even how the fact that one has three times the amount of athletic donations as 6-10, you know?
Yeah, 100%. Digger and all these Texas fans probably think you're trying to pick on them and make excuses. It's really not that. It's like you said, I mean, the margins are the margins. It wouldn't matter if that number one spot was Vanderbilt. I just don't see how that's fair, which again, everybody on the outside looking in always going to say, well, it wasn't fair when Alabama was stacking talent. Were there backdoor deals being done? I'm sure, probably, just like everywhere else. I mean, we're not dumb. But to make it seem like that's the only reason Alabama was just getting these recruits, no, Alabama was getting top recruits. Like, I promise to God, I didn't make any money coming here. I wanted to come here because I saw Alabama having success, and I trusted Coach Saban to be able to develop me and help me accomplish all of my goals and aspirations as a football player and as a student as well. So, I don't know. I hate when people make that excuse, make it seem like, oh, Alabama's just paying all these people all this money. That's not what drew me to Alabama. Can't speak for everybody, but for me, that wasn't it. All right, we got to hit time out. We come back. We keep on rolling. We got to dive into this head coach, Kalen DeBoer, interview with Greg McElroy. A lot of stuff to dissect there. We got Adam.
Bluetooth kits and so much more. If your golf cart needs repairs, the pros at Dixie Custom Carts can handle the job. Dixie Custom Carts, Greensboro Avenue in Tuscaloosa.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama,
we are here
treating patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies
and the dreamers
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors
who are shaping the next.
Deer season is going on now through June 3rd. Visit johndeere.com/deerseason to enter and view the offers and complete contest rules. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I wanted to tell you about our friends over at Lamparello Law Education and Advocacy, founded by attorney and professor Adam Lamparello, helping students at every level with mentoring, exam prep, applications, and career planning. Adam also represents students, faculty, and athletes in academic misconduct, First Amendment, NIL, and criminal defense cases. Known for real care and relentless advocacy. For guidance you can trust, call 201-317-5115 or visit lamparello-law.com. That's Lamparello Law Education and Advocacy.
Proud. What does it mean to advertise and do your marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa? Melissa started her business in 2014. What would you say to someone considering Town Square Media Tuscaloosa?
My experience with Town Square Media has been awesome, and I would definitely recommend it to anyone. I think that this is the first time in my marketing experience that I've been able to see my return on investment. I would definitely say in the past, that has not been the case. In this, I like knowing that that's 100%. A lot of the marketing we've done has been radio. You guys have so much more to offer than that, whether it's, you know, websites from targeted marketing to radio. You are kind of a one-stop shop, and it makes doing marketing so much easier. So I would definitely recommend it.
For more info on marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa, call 205-345-7200 or click on Advertise With Us on our website.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
Here's your Tuscaloosa and West Alabama forecast. Beautiful weather here next several days. A little bit more humidity as we move into the weekend, but really no mention of any rain until about the middle part of next week. Sunshine, 80 here this afternoon, 51 tonight. Sunny skies tomorrow with a high 83 and up to 85 on Saturday with sunshine. Sunny skies Sunday, high temperatures in the upper 80s. Richard Wedding at the Weather Channel for Town Square Media, Tuscaloosa.
It's 73 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
Yes! Roll Tide all the time.
This is Tide 100.9 and 1230 AM WTBC.
The home of Alabama Crimson Tide sports.
Edge Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. We're going at this top of the hour break in here in about 2 minutes, and we'll have Adam join us, and we'll start listening to some of these snippets from head coach Kalen DeBoer and discussing it here on the show. But Reed, any last minute thoughts on this this whole athletic donation thing? I know we kind of already put a bow on it, but I know we got a minute or so here. I mean, at the end of the day, it's just the fact that you just see $167 million and then Tennessee being close, still doubling pretty much everybody else. But everybody after that, really after Oklahoma being in that $50 to $60 million range, to me, $10 million difference, okay, you can work with that. But when you're talking double, triple the amount, I personally don't understand how the people don't see that as a problem. Do you think, let me ask you this, for the people that complain, when Coach Saban and other representatives go to Capitol Hill and they talk about the disparity that is being created with no true structure, do you think showing them a list like this that clearly indicates that a team or a program like Texas and Tennessee is double or even triple in this case, the amount of donations, not even the revenue generated, but donations to the athletic programs, do you think showing them a list like this would finally get them to put away their differences with, you know, Coach Saban or their, because listen, I'm not saying people hate Coach Saban, but anytime people see Coach Saban talking, and if they're not a fan of Alabama or they at least don't say they don't respect him, they're just going to go on a tangent about how he's just being selfish. Do you think this list, because this is proof, right? I mean, these are public records. Do you think this would be enough to change the minds of those folks and finally get them to understand that this is why we need structure to maintain parity?
I think it definitely helps the case, especially when, like we've been talking about, it seems like there's almost levels to it, you know, because it seems like 10 through, like even us right at the top at 4, that's within a 16 million, you know, range. And then it jumps from 66 to 92 at 3, then 92 to 110, then 110 to 167. So it seems like, you know, Texas is all the way at the top, you know. Then you've got Tennessee and Oklahoma. Maybe you can kind of put in that tier two. I mean, that's still another, what is that, 18 million difference mm-hmm. right there. And then it just seems like it's Alabama and, you know, the following in that, I guess, that tier three. So I think it definitely does make a great case.
I agree. We'll have to see. Maybe we'll have to find somebody who's one of those naysayers, right, in terms of why is Coach Saban and others trying to create structure. Maybe we'll find us like an agent who's complaining about them and complaining about that and show them this list, and maybe that will change something. And probably not. Worth a shot. We got to hit this top of the hour break. When we come back, we're joined by our guy, Mr. Adam Lamparello of Lamparello Law Education Advocacy, right here on the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC Plus. Breaking down some of Kalen DeBoer's thoughts coming out of post-spring right here. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
WTBC Tuscaloosa and W265CG Tuscaloosa, a Town Square Media station. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
From the Fox Sports studios in Los Angeles, here's Chris. Chris Perfect.
PGA Championship first round update. Atop the leaderboard now through 16 holes is Minwoo Lee, 4 under on the day. Aldridge Pogačar shot 67. He's tied with Stefan Jaeger, 3 under, while in the hunt is Xander Schauffele at 2 under. Rory McIlroy is 1 over par. John Rahm is even, and Bryson DeChambeau 4 over. South African golfer Garrick Higo was actually late to the event and was penalized 2 strokes. Dolphins running back Devon Achane reached an agreement with the organization for a new contract, 4 years, $68 million extension coming his way. The New York Giants are hopeful wide receiver Malik Nabers will be able to play week 1 after undergoing a second knee surgery for a cleanup procedure. And the Edmonton Oilers have fired head coach Chris Knobloch in spite of reaching the Stanley Cup final the past 2 seasons.
Do you have cracks or potholes that are dragging down your property's appeal? Hey, I'm Christian Miller, and at Asphalt Restoration, we transform driveways and parking lots with expert repairs, new paving, or resurfacing. Fast, durable, and family-owned quality that you can trust. Don't let small issues turn into big expenses. Call 205-393-9149 for your free estimate today. That's 205-393-9149. Asphalt Restoration, where smooth roads start. Roll Tide.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama,
we are here
treating patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies
and the dreamers
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors
who are shaping the next generation of legends.
We are here for you,
aggressively pursuing
victory over injury.
Learn more at andrewsportsmedicine.com.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I wanted to tell you about our friends over at Lamparello Law Education and Advocacy, founded by attorney and professor Adam Lamparello, helping students at every level with mentoring, exam prep, applications, and career planning. Adam also represents students, faculty, and athletes in academic misconduct, First Amendment, NIL, and criminal defense cases, known for real care and relentless advocacy. For guidance you can trust, call 201-317-5115 or visit lamparello-law.com. That's Lamparello Law Education and Advocacy. Proud partners. Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I want to tell you about our great friends over at Brian Harding Construction. Located in the heart of Tuscaloosa, Brian Harding Construction is woman-owned and strong as steel. A specialty manufacturing firm with expertise in structural steel fabrication, ASME code piping and vessels, CNC machine work, welding, laser cutting, pipe fitting, industrial maintenance, and crane rental. With a proven track record of over 30-plus years of experience, no one is better fit for the job. For an evaluation, contact Brian Harding Construction today at 205-752-9611. Again, that's Brian Harding Construction at 205-752-9611.
And not down again. It was Christian Miller.
It's time for the Miller's Edge
with 4-time SEC champion
and 2-time national champion Christian Miller.
Once again with Christian Miller taking him down.
Here's college football playoff national champion
Christian Miller
on Tide 100.9
and 1230 AM WTBC.
The Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, where we're now joined by the man himself, Mr. Adam Lamparello. If you guys haven't checked out the website yet, to Lamparello Law Education and Advocacy, make sure you guys go do that right now. Lamparello-law.com website is fully up and running. It's got everything you need right there. Their contact information, Adam's email. You can schedule a consultation for any of those services that they offer. Not only is it legal representation for any criminal defense matter, or NIL or academic misconduct. There's some important ones that they definitely deal with, but also those services, whether you are or you have high school, college, or graduate students that need help with exam and test taking preparation, subject matter mastery, and of course that academic and career planning, they got you guys covered. So make sure you guys check them out right now, Lamparello Law Education and Advocacy. Again, Lamparello-law.com is the website. Make sure you guys go pay them a visit. They can help you out, just like they've helped us out here with a number of different things, whether it's my dad needing some help with something, you name it, they will get you guys covered. And don't forget, they do it with genuine care and, of course, very affordable. That's the big one. things get expensive, they will do it at a very affordable rate and make sure you guys are protected and supported in a very first-class manner. Adam, we welcome you in, man. How are you doing on this Thursday?
I'm doing great. Thanks so much for having me on.
Absolutely, man. I know we were talking during the break a little bit about those numbers. Definitely kind of wild when you see them and you're just thinking about the $167 million to the $66 million that Alabama brought in. You mentioned the antitrust deal during the break. You mind just kind of just recapping that real quick for our radio listeners that didn't hear that and how that could kind of play a role in kind of what we're seeing with such drastic numbers here?
Absolutely. So antitrust law at its core is meant to prevent monopolies in our society, because our society is based on the idea that free market competition is a good thing. It's a good thing for consumers because it leads to reasonable prices and it gives opportunities to businesses to compete for profit in the market. In college football currently, what we have is the equivalent of monopolies based on the donations given by, you know, alumni and donors. For example, Texas, look at how much money they're raking in. Almost double, almost triple what Florida is, double what Alabama is. So what does that mean for the competitive market? It means the market's not competitive because Texas has a monopoly and schools that rake in that much money have a monopoly over the best players. They get the best facilities. And it's really not a competition for an equal competition for recruits, which turns into the playing field not being based on at least an equal competition for players. So there's no free market in college football anymore. It is the Wild West, and antitrust law needs to stop it. And I would tell President Trump, you know what? Call me. I would like to be on the commission because I have some ideas. We may not agree on everything, but we could put that aside. But use this theory to enact legal and constitutional reform, because the NCAA won't do it. Coaches don't know how to do it. Okay. And we don't need litigation for 10 years until we get to a solution. So we need to act now, and we need to focus it on creating equal and fair market competition.
No, I think it makes perfect sense. I mean, it clearly is. It looks like getting out of hand. Right. I mean, because this is just from 1 year, 24 to 25. Like Reed pointed out earlier, we don't know what the updated standings are. It could be even more of a difference. Maybe it comes down some, maybe other, like, for example, LSU. I wonder what the updated number on LSU's, I guess, donations would be, because on one end, it could be up a lot, given they needed more donations because they just fired Brian Kelly. There was a buyout there. You hire Lane Kiffin. I mean, that's a lot of money. Then you go spend a bunch of money in the transfer portal. Maybe LSU is almost pushing that 100-something million range on an updated list. Again, this is from technically what, the season before last. Alabama. Now, let me go back to Alabama real quick and get your thoughts on this, Adam. There's always conversations had about Alabama and their ability to spend. I came out and said, listen, Alabama's not looking to match some of these lucrative offers. I never said they didn't have a lot of money. Like, Alabama is definitely in a good position, right? And just like Clint had mentioned, I think, on the show yesterday, probably in that, you know, 6 through 10 range, if you had to guess, in terms of maybe spending and or at least ability to do so. And I think this list kind of shows that. But I guess my question is, you see the spending that, or I guess you don't necessarily see it, but you see the top five recruiting classes. You see the talent that Alabama is able to bring in. So I think that lines up. But my question is, I was kind of coming up in my head like, okay, maybe we didn't target a number of these offensive linemen in the portal, maybe because we were managing money, right? Or we were trying to figure out where we're going to allocate this money. It's clear that they definitely want to put a lot of money in quarterbacks, skilled players. But now when I'm seeing us up there, we clearly have the money. Does that make you kind of wonder why he didn't target as many, I guess, offensive linemen, knowing how big of an issue that has been? Does that come to your mind, or is that just me on that one, Adam?
I think you're 100% right. And I think what it reflects is Coach DeBoer's philosophy, which I've always said, you know, he's a wonderful coach, great person. Or is he the right fit for Alabama? I think he's investing in quarterbacks and skilled players, but is he investing in the trenches? Because that's where you win championships, and that's the biggest concern right now, I think, is the offensive and defensive line. So I think it's a philosophical issue, not a money issue. Mm-hmm. And this year is going to be really very telling. And his interview with Greg McElroy revealed a few very important points under the surface.
It did. And I definitely, that's going to segue us right into that. I'm going to play that here in a minute. But and that's why I kind of was bringing that up, because hearing that interview, hearing how he spoke about some of those philosophies and the way they do things. And I see Smitty in the chat saying, well, or Jackson Lloyd might be good. Here's the problem, Smitty. You have five offensive linemen. You're naming one guy. I didn't say find a guy to go play left tackle over Jackson Lloyd. But my thing is, and I'm not trying to just pick anybody specifically, but for example, Javen James from Mississippi State. He's got starting experience. I'm sure he can definitely, you know, give you some valuable reps. They're working him at right tackle now. They feel good about Jackson Lloyd, so I understand that. But my thing is, if you have the money, I guess the best way to put it is it felt like we kind of took a little bit more of a best bang for your buck approach when it came to guys up front of the offensive line. Not saying Javen James isn't going to be a starting caliber guy. I mean, he can be, because I think he can. But what I'm saying is, if there's somebody that you think is an even better player, and you know the significance of having those types of players up front to help improve that unit, because like you said, Adam, we all know pretty much everything is riding on the offensive line.
Yeah.
I mean, if you listen to Coach DeBoer speak, he is more than confident in both quarterbacks. I mean, he has, just by listening to him, he's come on our show. Anytime he speaks, he has no concerns whatsoever at quarterback. He doesn't sound like he has any concerns hardly with any of the skill guys, in my opinion. But he will acknowledge that the offensive line that needs to improve. All I'm saying was, and I get it, there's not, maybe there wasn't a whole bunch of guys in the portal. I'm just saying, if you do in fact have the resources, this is just me. If it was me, I would have allocated even more money to that position. Because again, it's not just one guy. I know you're saying, well, Jackson Lloyd, that's cool. But you also have two guard spots. Now Michael Carroll's filling one of those. So you got your left guard spot. You got the center from Cal Poly, who is a very scrappy physical player. Comes from a smaller school, but I think he's going to end up being good. But still, I'm just saying, even for the depth behind it, you know what I'm saying, Adam?
Sure.
I just feel like the approach was, we went with a lot of young guys, a lot of young, inexperienced guys. And I'm just saying, seeing some of the figures here, now I don't have, before it felt like I was kind of not necessarily making an excuse, but I'm like, okay, you only have so much money to go around. They're choosing to spend it on skill guys instead. That's one thing. But now I'm kind of like, all right, well, if you got that much money, maybe you could have done a little bit of both. But you're right. It seems like it's pointing more so in the philosophy side of things, more so than the spending side, like we kind of were maybe thinking before.
Yeah, and I think that's always been my concern, the cultural fit. Now, if I can make an analogy, you can have a professional baseball team that has amazing hitters up and down the lineup, and you pay them all $30 million, a bunch of Barry Bonds or Alex Rodriguez. But let me tell you, they will get shut down by a great pitcher like Greg Maddux. The same thing in football. You can have wideouts running 4-3s and quarterbacks who can throw it 80 yards. But if you have a defense like Indiana, like Alabama in 2014 to, say, 2018 or 19, they will shut down those skilled players because they will dominate the line of scrimmage, just like a pitcher will dominate the strike zone. That's where we got to focus. We got to focus on building the core before we can build, you know, all of the skill.
Absolutely. No, and while we're talking about it, it's a perfect time to segue. We're going to hit this first time out when we come back. You mentioned that interview. We'll go ahead and start with that snippet that you're mentioning, Adam. He talked about the philosophy of his team, what he's striving for, and kind of the approach that they're looking to take. We got a good little clip from that. We'll listen to it. We'll respond to it. We'll get Adam's thoughts. We'll get y'all's thoughts from the chat, plus a number of other topics that were mentioned in the interview. We'll discuss all that coming up right here on the Miller's Edge. Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBZ. We're joined by Mr. Adam Lamparello of Lamparello Law Education Advocacy. Check out that website right now. Lamparello.
Free. Right now to try it for free. That's ZipRecruiter.com/free.
Meet your match on ZipRecruiter. Try it free.
Do you have cracks or potholes that are dragging down your property's appeal? Hey, I'm Christian Miller, and at Asphalt Restoration, we transform driveways and parking lots with expert repairs, new paving, or resurfacing. Fast, durable, and family-owned quality that you can trust. Don't let small issues turn into big expenses. Call 205-393-9149 for your free estimate today. That's 205-393-9149.
393-9149. Asphalt Restoration, where smooth roads start. Roll Tide.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama,
we are here
treating patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies
and the dreamers
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors.
$5,000. Great atmosphere, outstanding customer service. When they do that at Bama Entertainment, where the odds are always in your favor. Take exit 45 off 2059, sponsored by Red.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I wanted to tell you about our friends over at Lamparello Law Education and Advocacy, founded by attorney and professor Adam Lamparello, helping students at every level with mentoring, exam prep, applications, and career planning. Adam also represents students, faculty, and athletes in academic misconduct, First Amendment, NIL, and criminal defense cases, known for real care and relentless advocacy. For guidance you can trust, call 201-317-5115 or visit Lamparello-law.com. That's Lamparello Law Education and Advocacy. Proud partner.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
Here's your Tuscaloosa and West Alabama forecast. Beautiful weather here next several days. A little bit more humidity as we move into the weekend, but really no mention of any rain until about the middle part of next week. Sunshine, 80 here this afternoon, 51 tonight. Sunny skies tomorrow with a high 83 and up to 85 on Saturday with sunshine. Sunny skies Sunday, high temperatures in the upper 80s. Richard Wedding at the Weather Channel for Town Square Media, Tuscaloosa.
It's 73 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
Stay locked in, Tide fans.
This is Tide 100.9
and 1230 AM WTBC,
the home of Alabama Crimson Tide sports.
Into this Thursday edition of Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. We're going to start talking about this interview with some of these big updates that Coach DeBoer dropped with Greg McElroy, former Alabama quarterback, on his podcast, Always College Football. So they already got it nice and sliced and diced for us. So we can just kind of skip through the main points here. Adam mentioned we were talking about the offensive line in that piece where he talked about the physicality. Let's go ahead and listen to that to start this interview. This was head coach Kalen DeBoer talking about working around your personnel, right? Greg McElroy brings up a good point about some of his past teams, their identities, and what Kalen DeBoer is definitely looking from his football team going into the 2026 season.
I think it's funny. So many people are really only familiar with your 10 years at both Washington and at Alabama. But I remember watching your Fresno teams, and those are some of the most hard-nosed, pound-the-football teams you'll see. I mean, like, to the point where the offensive line was just flat-out scary. So for those that maybe haven't seen what Kalen DeBoer's teams have looked like prior to Washington, I think you are, and Coach, just knowing you, I get the sense that you kind of adapt to your personnel. So what would you say to those that say, oh, yeah, well, they're really more pass-happy, they're not really a ground pound outfit?
Yeah, I mean, I can go back to 2000. This is a long time ago, but as a coordinator in 2002, we were maybe the top running team in the country. Back at Sioux Falls, the very next year, we were probably the top passing team in the country. Different quarterback, lost our running back. You work around your personnel. I really do believe that you don't win championships without a physical nature to your program. And that happens through, you know, what you do in practice. That's what we want to become. I know what that looks like. We've done it in multiple places. I'm not going to take away from what we were at Washington and the ability to throw the ball, what we were last year, you know, with Ty slinging it around to a talented group of receivers. I mean, that's dynamic. You know, you want to be as dynamic as you possibly can be, but you do need to have a physical way about you if you want to win the championships. There's going to be weather games. There's going to be something that just, you know, you got to finish out the game and it's close and you got to grind away or you got to get that big stop on a third or fourth and one or on the goal line. It presents itself in different ways, offensively, defensively. And I know our guys are working extremely hard to make sure that any flaws that we've had or areas we've come short, and that's the staff and that's our players, that we are looking to become what we know we need to be and can be.
All right. So a lot of things to unpack there, Adam. Reed, I can let you chime in too if you have any thoughts on here. First and foremost, he mentioned going back to, I think, like the Sioux Falls days and working around personnel. I will admit I wasn't aware. I'll be honest. I have never heard of Sioux Falls until he got here, just being completely transparent. So I didn't know any of the history there. Greg pointed out that at one point, they like led the country in rushing yards. I think it was around 200 yards on the ground. I don't know if that meant for like their conference or like what the exact stats were, but definitely was an interesting, I guess stat to throw out there. Then he also mentioned, I think he said the following year, they're one of the best passing teams in the country, basically indicating that at the end of the day, just like me and my dad said countless times on this show, the best coaches take advantage of the personnel that they have. And I will acknowledge, I mean, that is true. We've seen that already. 2024, Jalen Milroe was the starting quarterback. We saw how his offense had adapted to that, right? A lot more quarterback design run, zone read, right? Jalen Milroe was pretty much the nucleus of that offense, and they found a lot of success to the point where people don't realize this, but believe it or not, the offense technically was more productive in a number of ways in 2024 with Nick Sheridan and Jalen Milroe than it was last football season. Those are facts if you go off the numbers themselves. That said, we saw last season Ty Simpson takes over. We know the quarterback that he is, a very cerebral type player, very smart. He can handle a lot pre-snap. They put a lot more on a guy like that. They're looking to throw the ball and take advantage of his strengths, which is clearly throwing the football. And we saw a lot of success out of that as well. So the adaptability that head coach Kalen DeBoer has around his personnel, there's no denying that. We've seen that as proof. That's all cool. But he mentioned the physicality piece and how he believes that a team must have physicality, or at least they have to have that type of identity in order to be a championship caliber football team. He said, I think he pretty much said it. He hasn't really seen a team that has been a championship team that hasn't been a team that has that physical brand of football. That was where I kind of started to go a little left. And only reason I say that is, in my opinion, the physicality piece, I don't think that really, yes, personnel matters because you need to have physical players. But as a coach, I mean, that's kind of your job to establish that. So that would be the one thing that when I was hearing that, it was kind of interesting, because I'm just thinking like, and he was saying like, that's what they're working towards, right? So there's no denying that. I want to be clear. He said they're working towards that. That comes from how you practice, you know, doing the daily things to really instill that in your football team and to build that type of mentality up. But I guess my question was like the first 2 years not enough to necessarily to get that? Because in my opinion, I don't think it takes several years to really build that. Maybe more so on the front of getting your guys at him. Maybe that's what he's going with. But what did you think about that? Because that was one thing that kind of confused me, because I'm just saying like that from the head coach, I just feel like, I mean, the way you know, build your culture, like you mentioned, the practice habits and what you're allowing or expecting out of your guys, that's what contributes to that. And I don't think it necessarily takes 3 years to build a physical team. I think day one, as soon as you get here, you have to lay the foundation and you have to set the tone on what your expectations are and what you are going to allow and accept. That was one thing that kind of threw me off on that answer. How about you?
Yeah, I have the utmost respect for Coach DeBoer. He's a fantastic coach, great person, and I, of course, wish all the best for him. But it's one thing to say it. It's another thing to do it. And if you listen to that answer from him, he starts talking about physicality, but then he drifts into once again talking about the importance of skill players. Why do I think he did that? Because I think his philosophy is that skill and scheme win out, and he is having a crisis of identity, because when he came to Alabama, he realized that's not going to work, and he's going to have to adapt to the type of system that he doesn't necessarily want to or think is the best. And I think he's struggling with that tension right now. Now, in terms of being more physical, well, you're the head coach. What is happening in practices? Are you having full contact scrimmages or drills? You know, if it were up to me, the spring game, I would tell Austin Mack and I would tell Keelan Russell, yeah, you're fair game. This is a real scrimmage. And if you get hurt, that's your fault. That means you didn't. Because, you know, the way I was raised, it was, you know what, you have a choice and you make the right choice. And if it doesn't go well, you take responsibility and you respond. You know, putting that kind of intensity is what builds physicality. It gets built from actions, not from words. And that's what I want to see. I want to see full contact scrimmages. Now, I will say this. Pete Carroll had a great run at USC, and he was a player-friendly coach, you know, certainly. that style can work. But is it going to work in Alabama? No. And do I believe that he wants to be physical? Yes. But is it consistent with who he is? No. And I need to see more before I believe more.
I think what you said makes a lot of sense. And if I could just add on to that, just from what I've gathered, just from what I've seen over the past 2 years, I think he's the type of guy that really relies on, you know, delegating the responsibility to his coaches. And I believe in his mind, he's probably thinking, okay, well, we didn't have the right coach with the offensive line to really instill that in those guys. That's kind of what I'm hearing, because I just, knowing how he operates, right? I mean, he kind of, anybody will tell you, Coach Saban is hands-on with everybody. I mean, to the point where Coach Saban is hands-on with people, you're like, wait, why is he talking about like the landscaping? Coach Saban is hands-on on literally every single thing possible. I think with Coach DeBoer, it looks a little bit different. It's like, okay, Courtney Morgan is the GM. I'm going to let him do his job and recruit the best players. Kane Womack is the defensive coordinator. I'm going to let him manage the defense, put the guys in the best position. And I think he probably views it as, okay, you know, I'm doing my part, but I know it's important to have the right pieces around me. Because, I mean, let's just face it. I mean, like, he's not going to be the biggest yeller or screamer. Now, I know people say, like, he just never cusses. I'm sure. I mean, I think he even joked about that. It's not like he just doesn't say anything. Like, he has that to him. But I think for his style, it's critical that he does have the enforcers around him, because he might not always be that type of guy. So maybe that's what he's kind of getting at. Because in my head, I'm just like, well, I don't think it takes 3 years to build a physical team. I mean, you can pretty much not have good players. You might take 3 years to get good talent, but they can at least go out there and go, you know, put a hat on a hat and fight, you know, scratch, claw. Like, that's an identity. That's a mentality. You don't need good players to do that. Anybody can. That's effort, right? We always say that. Effort, physicality, that doesn't require talent. That's a mindset. That's a choice. So maybe what he's getting at is, hey, we've made a change. We brought in, because he's spoken very highly of Adrian Clem, the new offensive line coach. He's spoken very highly of Coach Owens, who's with the tight ends. And I think his expectation is, hey, I'm hiring you guys to, you get your group to be playing that physical brand of ball. You get your tight end group to be that physical, you know, group of players that we need. And maybe that's kind of the approach that he's taking. But that was the one thing I will say. I mean, it's like, on one hand, I like hearing that, because we all know, everybody in the fan base is, we've all noticed the same thing, right? I mean, like, there's just been a lack of that killer instinct, that physicality that is, you know, I guess goes hand in hand with Alabama football. So it's nice to hear that, you know, be a focal point this offseason. But then it's kind of like, well, but I feel like there's more that we could have been doing already, if that makes sense.
It does make sense. And I think, you know, he's the one who sets the culture, and he's the one who chooses the coaches. And what he says sets the tone, the mindset, and influences the choices of the players. If it were me, I know this may sound a bit extreme, I'd go to practice, and instead of those different colored jerseys the quarterbacks wear, I would put jerseys with bullseyes on them and make them for every practice. I would take all the first string offensive and defensive linemen and bench them, and I would put in the second string, and I would say, you have to outplay the second string if you ever want to get on the field. Then we'd see how that would go. And then I would ask them what their maximum bench press is. And I would say, in 1 week, if you don't bench 50 pounds more, you're out. Then we would have a physical culture. I know it's exaggerating, but I think my point is, you know what? I saw Nick Saban a few times in person, and you know what? It scared me, because he had this look in his eyes that commanded respect and made you look, whoa. When I see Coach DeBoer, I want to be his best friend. And I don't say that as an insult to Coach DeBoer. I love this program. The players are incredibly talented. He's a great coach. I don't want to sound all negative, but you got to have the foundation. The foundation is physicality and the bullseye.
Yeah, that's fair. Now, I don't know if I get behind putting the bullseyes on the quarterback at all, only because I do know, like, in the NFL, man, that's one rule that is like a forbid. Do not touch the quarterback. That, I mean, it's, whatever you do, do not touch the quarterback. But if you're talking about building some character with your quarterback room, I mean, that is one way to do it. Now, I guess we got a couple in the quarterback room that you feel good about, so maybe you could be a little bit more physical with those
maybe
guys.
Maybe a little gentler, though. I could be a little gentler, so maybe a little bit more.
Maybe like one period. Maybe one period where you're like, hey, full go, you guys got to lower your shoulder a little bit here. Just do not. Nah, I'll be honest. That would be – could you imagine if one of them got hurt doing that, Adam? That would not go well. That's the only thing I'll say.
I would say, you know what, it's your fault you got hurt because you weren't in good enough condition. Deal with it. Now I'd be fired.
Yeah, that might definitely have some people a little upset at him. But hey, I mean, to be fair, man, you talk about it. You want toughness. I mean, making your quarterbacks take some blows that I think they'll be a little tough after that. Just hopefully they survive. All right, let's hit the timeout. We come back. There's plenty more to discuss. From this interview, he touched on a number of different things. We'll keep listening to some of these snippets and respond, so we'll get y'all's thoughts as well. 205-342-9904 is the number to the program, by the way. We're joined by Mr. Adam Lamparello of Lamparello Law Education Advocacy.
Non-stop excitement. It's the $65,000 Fiesta of Cash at Pearl River Resorts. Must be 21 or older to play.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama,
we are here
treating patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies
and the dreamers
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors.
That's 800-923-6829. What do you have to lose? Call 800-923-6829. Again, 800-923-6829.
You're listening to the home of Alabama Crimson Tide Sports. Tide 100.9.
Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. Head Coach Kalen DeBoer joined Greg McElroy and discussed a number of things on his podcast, Always College Football. We've been talking about it with Adam of Lamparello Law Education and Advocacy. We just talked about the offensive line, the running game, that physical identity that they're looking to build. But let's move on. Here's a topic that everybody, you talk about the running game. We talk a lot about the offensive line, but you also got some players in the backfield that are also important. They're the ones, they're toting the rock. And we know running backs, they didn't perform their best last season, but a guy by the name of E.J. Crowell signed with Alabama. A lot of people excited about him. Didn't get to see him much this spring, but Coach DeBoer discussed that blue chip prospect and what to expect out of him, and this is what he had to say.
Another position group where a lot of people, I get questions all the time, hey, Crowell, I mean, a name that keeps coming up. Everyone loves the new toy, right? I understand that for sure. And look, there's no denying his pedigree leading to this point as one of the top backs in high school football last year. I know he's a little banged up in the spring. For you, as a guy that's been around all levels of football for a very long time, how comfortable are you going with a true freshman at running back in particular?
Just take EJ or take our situation out of it. I've had that happen. We've been very successful. I think our system allows that. It'd be easier if, now back to our situation, EJ would have been practicing all spring long. It's knowing your job, and it's much like we talked about with offensive line. It's doing your job, but it's also doing it along with everyone else. Trusting the offensive line when there's a pressure is going to take this guy, and having those reps, banked reps, and done it so many times where it's just, you can't do it wrong. You know, it's always going to be done right. And again, that, a lot of times that's not just you doing your job and confident in yourself. It's you being confident in everyone else and having seen that take place where you're picking up a blitz over and over. I think the raw instincts of EJ, as you're kind of alluding to, from what we've seen, you know, whether it's high school film or just a few snaps he took at the beginning of spring ball, you know, there's a high ceiling for him. He can run well. You know, that comes out through the winter workouts. I think there's football instincts and things like that.
All right, Adam, EJ Crowell, a lot of fans are excited about him, think that he could really help out this run game that desperately needs some help. After Alabama was, I think, had one of the worst, I guess, seasons in terms of running the football historically last football season. How impactful do you feel like EJ Crowell will be this upcoming fall? Again, he is coming off a little bit of an injury this spring. I think Coach DeBoer mentioned that by June, he should be pretty much like fully cleared, which is kind of like midway through the summer program. So hopefully a full, healthy fall camp when they get back on the field with those pads. You think EJ Crowell ends up being, you know, one of the key backs? And he mentioned that, you know, it's not uncommon for him to use young running backs in his systems.
I think that he has a great future. I'm not sure that his future is now because, you know, first, he's a freshman, and the jump to the SEC is a huge one. Second, there's questions about our offensive line, so I'm not sure how effective he or any other running back is going to be, but I think he has a tremendous amount of talent and is going to be very, very impactful ultimately. But I think the success of the running backs is going to depend on the offensive line. That's why I think your focus on it is 100% right.
Yeah, no, I agree. I'm excited to see more of EJ Crowell. With him being limited this spring, we didn't get to see a whole bunch. But there's no denying the talent that he has. And I think he definitely could be a guy that helps that room. Like you said, I mean, the offensive line, if the play's not where it needs to be, don't really matter who you have back there. Now, they'll be able to create some, and I'm sure they'll definitely be able to get out of some situations where other guys might have, you know, been tackled for maybe no gain or something like that. And then you have a guy that's just a special talent, they can usually create it and get you a few more yards here and there or make some plays that otherwise wouldn't have been there. He seems like he's that type of player, but like you said, I don't know how big that impact is. And a matter of fact, we got a good question last week from Hunter, who calls in, and he had mentioned that he asked a question, you know, which freshman do we think will have the biggest impact? A lot of people initially would just go EJ Crowell, given the running game. We're looking for that answer. I ended up going with CD Morgan, knowing that there is injury to Noah Rogers, seeing him this spring. He's got a lot of versatility. They worked him at the slot. He's got the frame of an X, but he's versatile. Seeing him be able to, you know, create some separation, his route running definitely impressed me. I think he's going to be a guy to pay attention to. I'll ask you that question. Who do you think ends up having the most impact as a true freshman this upcoming season?
Sadarian Morgan. But mm-hmm. I think that for Alabama this year, the key is going to be team. It's not going to be any one player. It's can we play as a team, because we've got a tremendous amount of talent and there are many good things that this team can accomplish. But are we going to be able to play as a team cohesively, avoid mental errors, and really play as a unit like an Indiana did? That's the, I think, the question. But Morgan is who I would say is the most impactful.
You know, I think he even mentioned, and I can't remember if it was in this interview or what, but I think it was this one, but about, you know, having a lot of respect for teams like Indiana. And of course, he knows what it needs to look like, but being able to kind of see that does kind of give you a little bit of a, just paints a little bit of a picture, right? Not saying he needed to see Indiana to know what his team needs to look like, but there's no denying it. Just like in the NFL, I mean, it's copycat league. You might be a great football coach, but best believe, even Coach Saban, we copied other teams. We would play teams and say, damn, that's actually a good idea. We're going to incorporate some of what they're doing. Everybody does that, and I think he also mentioned that. So to your point about the team execution and playing with that physicality, he actually spoke highly of Indiana and mentioned some of those characteristics that he does want to see from his team. But we were talking about CD Morgan. I want to play this snippet real quick, Adam, about another wide receiver who we're expecting to have a big season, Ryan Coleman-Williams. This is what Kalen DeBoer had to say when discussing his rising junior receiver.
So what do you think we're going to get from Ryan Coleman-Williams here in year number three?
You know what he's done. He knows what it's supposed to look like, knows what it feels like. He's been there. He's worked extremely hard. People, I think, oh, it's a wake-up call to, for your football team or whatever it might be. Ryan's been Ryan. Ryan works, and you're never going to question the work ethic, the character, the personality. He's competitive as anyone you're going to find. Our team just loves that about him. And then, you know, what he's done as a leader, being really the guy that's probably taken as many snaps as anyone on the offensive side in particular. He's in the weight room, and he can lead the charge. He's here this whole month of May. He might have little things in the weekends, and he goes and does, but he's here. You know, our guys are away from school for the most part. There's a couple weeks where they do get that one time a year to get away. Guess who's here? You know, and that's Ryan Coleman-Williams. And so I'm excited about what that future looks like. I just think if you just keep working, the good things come to you sooner or later. You want it sooner than later, but that's going to be the case, I think, for Ryan.
All right, so he sounds very optimistic about Ryan Coleman-Williams in year number three, a guy who had a very explosive freshman campaign. He kind of took college football by storm, 17-year-old making huge plays, had a huge play in that Georgia game leading to that victory over Kirby Smart when they came to Tuscaloosa. We all know the player that Ryan Coleman-Williams is or can be. Had a little bit of a slump last season. Adam, after hearing that, Coach DeBoer is speaking very highly of him. It sounds like, you know, he's not concerned about his third-year wide receiver who stepped up nicely as a leader this offseason. What are you expecting out of Ryan Coleman-Williams in year three? Do you see him having a bounce back here, building off of maybe some of the things he did his freshman year?
I think he's going to be one of the best receivers in the SEC, if not the best, because the best thing that happened to Ryan Williams was last year, when he had to fight some adversity, some confidence issues. You know, it's good sometimes to get knocked down because it teaches you a lot of lessons. And I think he's learned those lessons. He's going to come back stronger, more confident than ever, and with something to prove. He's going to have a spectacular year.
I agree. I always say, I mean, as a competitor, man, I mean, I know fans, they get frustrated. You know, they see a player, you know, struggling or going through a little bit of a slump. But best believe, the person who's taking that, I guess, the most personal is the player himself, and especially a guy that's competitive like Ryan. I mean, I just don't see a world where he doesn't have a year that he just kind of comes back to life. And don't get me wrong. I mean, what's crazy is when you look at the numbers, Ryan still, I think, was like the second leading receiver on the team. It really was a pretty decent year in terms of production. It wasn't bad by any means. It's just I think it gets overshadowed by some of those drops that he did have and just a couple games where he just really, you know, was a no-show, which some of that could have been from a schematic standpoint. I mean, I remember I don't think he got any targets in the Iron Bowl, right? So I do think he does have a bounce back year. I think a lot of it has to do with confidence and just cleaning up some of the technical things, right? Catching with his body, maybe getting back to, you know, really working on his hands, things like that, really, you know, locking in the football. And just, I think little details like that he's working on right now, I think are going to go a long way. And I think we see a return of Ryan Coleman-Williams this upcoming fall. We got to hit one more timeout. We come back, we got a couple more snippets, and we'll finish up our visit with Mr. Adam Lamparello of Lamparello Law Education Advocacy right here on the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230, WTBC.
Coming up on The Game with Ryan Fowler.
Coming up on the Thursday edition of The Game, we'll talk to Rodney Orr, TiderInsider.com. We'll talk to Bruce Marshall, Vegas Insider, a professional handicapper. We'll look ahead to the college football season. We'll talk running backs in Tuscaloosa, courtesy of Daniel Moore-Art, as we continue that conversation right here starting at 2 p.m. on The Game with Ryan Fowler on Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, your home of Alabama Crimson Tide Sports.
Longest running sports talk show in Tuscaloosa. The Game with Ryan Fowler. Weekdays.
Powered by Tuscaloosa Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram. Find adventure, power, and performance today at Tuscaloosa Jeep Dodge Ram.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama, We are here,
treating patients from every generation,
across the United States,
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies
and the dreamers,
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers,
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors
who are shaping the next generation of legends.
We are here for you,
aggressively pursuing
victory over injury.
Learn more at andrewsportsmedicine.com.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I wanted to tell you about our friends over at Lamparello Law Education and Advocacy, founded by attorney and professor Adam Lamparello, helping students at every level with mentoring, exam prep, applications, and career planning. Adam also represents students, faculty, and athletes in academic misconduct, First Amendment, NIL, and criminal defense cases, known for real care and relentless advocacy. For guidance you can trust, call 201-317-5115 or visit lamparello-law.com. That's Lamparello Law Education and Advocacy.
Proud. What does it mean to advertise and do your marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa? Melissa started her business in 2014. What would you say to someone considering Town Square Media Tuscaloosa?
My experience with Town Square Media has been awesome, and I would definitely recommend it to anyone. I think that this is the first time in my marketing experience that I've been able to see my return on investment. I would definitely say in the past that has not been the case, and this, I like knowing that that's 100%. A lot of the marketing we've done has been radio. You guys have so much more to offer than that, whether it's, you know, websites, from targeted marketing to radio. You are kind of a one-stop shop, and it makes doing marketing so much easier. So I would definitely recommend it.
For more,
that's right, free at ZipRecruiter.com/radio. That's ZipRecruiter.com/radio. ZipRecruiter.com/radio.
Tide 100.9 Tuscaloosa weather.
Here's your Tuscaloosa and West Alabama forecast. Beautiful weather here next several days. A little bit more humidity as we move into the weekend, but really no mention of any rain until about the middle part of next week. Sunshine, 80 here this afternoon, 51 tonight. Sunny skies tomorrow with a high 83 and up to 85 on Saturday with sunshine. Sunny skies Sunday, high temperatures in the upper 80s. Richard Welling at the Weather Channel for Town Square Media Tuscaloosa.
It's 74 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
Never miss a moment of the action. Download the free Tide 100.9 app today.
Into this Thursday edition of the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. We're joined by Adam Lamparello of Lamparello Law Education and Advocacy. Again, if you guys need any representation, whether it's legal representation or, again, help with high school, college, or graduate students with any of those services, academic career planning, subject matter mastery, of course, exam and test taking preparation, check them out. Lamparello-law.com. It's got all that information. You can schedule a consultation. It's got everything right there for you on the website. Again, that is Lamparello Law Education and Advocacy. All right, we got one more clip I want to react to, and this one was about the Rose Bowl. Coach DeBoer was talking about the team he faced, led by Kurt Cignetti, who was at the White House a couple of days ago, trolling a little bit, but nonetheless, good football team. And this is what Kalen DeBoer had to say when he was asked about that football game.
We all saw the last time your team took the field in the Rose Bowl last year. We know it didn't finish the way you guys intended it to finish. What does a game like that lead to for you, Coach, from a reflection standpoint? What does that lead to when you're making changes, adjusting who you are, what you do? So what does a game like the Rose Bowl kind of teach you about what the program needs to be in the future to avoid a result like we saw the last time out?
I'm going to first give hats off to the people that did it. And Coach Cignetti did an awesome job of building a team that was just well-rounded across the board. You know, great schematically, you know, had a mentality about them. And so, again, we saw that. It's not like we didn't know what it's supposed to look like. I know what it's supposed to look like. I know what it feels like. You can see now, again, through those experiences, kind of almost what we were talking about, where we need to improve. And that's what we work daily to do, is continue to clean up those areas where we fall short. And to me, it's a lot of execution, especially when it comes to the run game or stopping the run. Got to have personnel, got to be on the same page with what you're teaching. And we continue to work extremely hard to make all those areas come together. But you got to give a tip of the hat. I mean, because they didn't just do it to us. They did it to a lot of teams throughout the season and even into the playoffs. We know we got a lot of work ahead of us. You know, I think that, again, got to tip the hat out to Coach Cignetti and what that program did there.
That was Kalen DeBoer on the Rose Bowl. Anything to take away from that, Adam? I mean, I think it's pretty much kind of what you'd expect. You know, give a lot of respect to the other team. But he did mention maybe – he made sure he said that, hey, we already know what it needs to look like. I know what it looks like. I've experienced that. I understand it. But there's no denying, you know, when you experience a game like that and seeing a team that's well-rounded, physical, has good schematics, there's stuff you can kind of walk away from that game with. Anything you pull from that?
I was a little – disappointed in the answer because I thought it was too political. I think he should have been more direct. I mean, we got out physical, and that's not acceptable. Short and to the point. And, you know, on the physicality front, what she talks about, I've got a 3-part plan for us to be more physical next year to build leaders. And I'm only half joking. Keelan and Austin should go to the store right now in Tuscaloosa, buy 2 jerseys. The front has a bullseye. The back says, hit me. And then they have a meeting just with the defense, and they tell the defense, we don't think you're good, and in fall camp, you're not going to touch us. Then they have a meeting with the offensive line and say, we just put our lives at risk. You better protect us in fall camp. That will set the stage for intensity.
Wait. That's okay. All right. So you're going to go hit the hornet's nest a little bit. Then you're going to put on the offensive line and say, yeah, we just tick these guys off. They're trying to kill us. To do that, they're going to try to kill you first, so you better defend us and defend yourself while you're at it, and then it's just going to be this big all-out war, and everybody gets better.
Exactly. Now, probably not the best way to do it, but if you can find a way to increase the urgency and get that climate of urgency, you'll be in good shape.
Hey, I'm picking up what you're putting down. That would be funny. I mean, that's kind of what Coach Cochran used to do, low-key, like at practices. He used to always go talk mess to one group and then run back to the other, talk mess. And then he would instigate. By the time team run came, we're trying to take each other's heads off. And he just sitting in there, sitting over there on the sidelines, stirring the pot. Adam, really good stuff as always, man. Always enjoy you hanging out with us on Thursdays. Again, before we let you go, remind everybody, Lamprello Law, what you guys are doing and how they can keep up with you guys.
Yeah, our firm, you know, reasonably priced, helps with criminal defense, all education-related matters, Title IX matters. So if you want an attorney who cares about you and is going to, you know, advocate for you, give me a call.
Absolutely. Lamprello-Law.com. Find all that information right there. Adam, we appreciate you, sir. Thank you so much.
Have a great day. Thank you.
Yes, sir. You too. And all you other guys and girls listening out there, have a great day. We got to get out of here. We'll be back for a free-for-all Friday edition right here on the Miller's Edge. Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC.